Welcome to the In Hope Podcast. We're your hosts. I'm Preach.
And I'm Brandon. And each week we drop an episode to strengthen unity in the body of Christ.
We want you to be part of the conversation. So make sure you like, share, subscribe, and let's talk. All right, my In Hope family, my unifiers out there. Today it is me and you. We're going to be running through some names of God. And we're going to talk about how these names are unifying banners for us. Just really felt impressed to just turn focus to who he is. That's really where we get our unity, who he is. If you were watching previous episodes, listening to previous episodes, then you saw us talk about that up in and out. And Brandon and myself were talking about how we are really unified. That up in and out happens because of who he is. It's that uptime. It's falling under that banner of who he is, and wanted to look at some different names of God. There's actually a list that I found pretty interesting. It's a list of 200 different names. If you are familiar with who is it? Is it Phil? I think it's Phil. Phil Wickham himself, another gentleman, sing a song called 1,000 Names, and it's just talking about how we know him by 1,000 names, and he lives up to every single one of those. Where there's this list of 200, I'm going to have us start to walk through. Who knows, we may go through this a few times, but I'm going to try to make it quick. We're going to hit a few of them, and we're going to talk about those. And I don't want to go through all of them, because I'm sure Brandon's going to want to get in on this. And then I also would love to hear some of your guys' favorite names of God. Share with us, join the conversation, let us know, comment some of your favorite names of God and why. And we're going to talk about these. I'm literally just going to go alphabetical order here. Myself and Brandon, we usually, sometimes it's while the feed is rolling, sometimes it's beforehand, but we always open up with a word of prayer. So I just want to invite you guys to join me in prayer before we jump in to these names of God. Father, we thank you so much. We thank you that everything that we talk about here, as it's this desire and this pursuit to be a unifier within the body of Christ, to pursue the unity that Jesus prayed for, the unity that we see encouraged time and time again throughout Scripture, we thank you that all of that is because of you. We thank you that we are who we are because of who you are. We thank you that all these things, that it's worth it. It's worth the struggle at times. It's worth the pursuit. It's worth it, and it is beneficial because of who you are. And so right now, we just want to turn our gaze towards you. And as we turn our gaze towards you and we focus on who you are, we pray that you would speak to us, that you would guide us into closer relationship with you, into stronger bonds of unity with one another. And more than anything, we pray that as we do this, our hearts would be lifted up towards you and that you would smile on us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, guys. So let's start off with this first name, very first name. And again, this list is in alphabetical order. And so the first name that pops up for us comes from 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. If you know anything about me, 1 John is one of my favorite books in the Bible, 1 John chapter 4 specifically. And 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, John's talking to believers over in Asia, over in Ephesus area. And he writes to them, he says, "My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father." We have an advocate with the Father, and he's talking about Christ. And that word advocate, when we want to think about that, what does it mean to advocate? And so I looked up this definition for us. It says a person who publicly supports or recommends a particular cause or policy. a person who publicly supports or recommends a particular cause or policy. This is Jesus advocating on our behalf, publicly supporting us. He is recommending us. He is standing in and pushing, advocating for us, supporting us with the Father. And I want us to think about this also in terms of what does that mean for us? What does that mean for our brothers and sisters? A big thing that we often talk about is recognizing how we treat one another that affects our relationship with God. And not only that, how we treat one another, sometimes we have to recognize that another brother or sister in the body of Christ, Jesus looks at that as how you're treating him. He talks about this with, we see this with Paul when he was Saul and he gets knocked off the horse and Jesus asks, hey, why are you persecuting me? Now, if you know at that time, Paul was running around persecuting Christians and he didn't say, hey, why are you persecuting my people? Why are you persecuting them? He says, why are you persecuting me? Jesus, as he shares in the Gospels, he's talking about how you treat the least of these. You've done so to me. He says he separates those from the right and the left. And he says, blessed are you, because when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was poor, you clothed me. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was in prison, you visited me. And they're saying, when did we do this? And he says, when you've done it for these, my brothers, you've done it for me. And so looking at this, I want us to consider that when it comes to conversation with or about another believer, when it comes to how are we talking about our brothers and sisters in the body of Christ, when it comes to how are we disagreeing, how are we possibly in conflict and in debate, I would even say battle with our brothers and sisters, right? Because it's always this comforting feeling to think, hey, God is on my side. He's my advocate. But this should also be a caution for us in how we're treating one another, how we're talking of one another, because we have to recognize that just as much as Jesus is advocating for us, he is also advocating for them. And as we see within scripture, we don't want to be caught, right, fighting against, pushing against God. And so we need to be cautious on how we're interacting with one another. But that is one of those things. Jesus is our advocate when we don't deserve it. he is our advocate. He is supporting us. He is for us. And maybe that can seem odd to some people. Some people need to hear this, though, that God is for you. He's not this judge just waiting for you to slip up so that he can strike you down. No, he is for you. He is supporting you. Him going on the cross was a public display of his love and his support, his stepping in on your behalf. Jesus is your advocate, not your enemy, not your foe, not the one who's out to get you. He is your advocate. He is your support, and he is for you. Now, when I say that, that doesn't mean, hey, just do whatever you want. Jesus is on your side. No, he wants what's best for you. He's pushing for what's best for you. And sometimes, like a father will with their children, that means when we're going wrong, he is going to bring some discipline and correction. Sometimes when we're going wrong, we have to deal with the repercussions, right? There's times where my kids, they'll go and they'll do something and, you know, they'll say they're sorry and we do this forgiving thing. But we also have to remind them that even though we forgive you, sometimes there's still consequences. Sometimes there's still repercussions for what has happened, right? When I forgive you for breaking a vase, right? Well, that vase is still broken. It still needs to be cleaned up. I'm not going to hold it over you and punish you and be bitter towards you. But look, there is something that happened. There's still something that needs to take place, right? There's still some repercussion. There's still some things that are going to happen. Sometimes that means, hey, we're not going out to play because, yes, I forgive you. You didn't clean your room like you were supposed to. I forgive you, but you still got to clean your room. I forgive you for not doing it before, but look, it still got to get done, right? We still got to clean that vase up. And so we need to realize, even as Jesus is your advocate, someone needs to hear that he is for you. He is in support of you. That doesn't always necessarily mean support of what you want to do, who you want to be, where you want to go, but him knowing what's truly best for you. He wants what's best for you. And that's what he's pushing for. All right. So Jesus is, God is your advocate. The next word here, the next name title that we can give towards God comes from Revelations chapter 1, verse 8. Somebody heard Revelations. They're like, oh, I know where this is going, especially since we said alphabetical order. This is the first word in the Greek alphabet. And you guys may recognize this word because we'll often use it. And it has its own meaning within our culture that we borrow from this. And look, I'm jumping. There's two words here. So Revelations 1, verse 8, it says, I am the Alpha. And then later on in that verse, and I'm skipping only because there's other words in here that we haven't got to yet because we're going in alphabetical order. But trust me, Revelations chapter 1, verse 8, it's worth the read. Whole chapter is worth the read. Go in, read it. But I'm just going to highlight these two names in here without reading the whole thing. I'm going to read the whole thing, but we'll come back to the other ones later. It says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Some say the Almighty One. All right. And so we have the Almighty and we have the Alpha, the Almighty and the Alpha we see here in Revelations chapter 1, verse 8. If you're likely familiar with that term Alpha, you can think about it when if you're like, oh, I'm not sure. Think about it when they talk about dogs in a pack. The one who leads the pack is the Alpha. Right. Sometimes within our culture, this can get a negative reputation, but there's a term of an alpha male, right? And this is the idea that you are the leader. You are first in line, so to speak, all right? And so this is the first word in the Greek alphabet, and it is Alpha. And Jesus is saying, look, I am the Alpha. I am the start. I am the lead. I am the beginning, is where he's going with this. He is at the front, right? So he is the Alpha and he is the Almighty One. Almighty. These two words are really important because we have to come back to realizing, look, it starts with him. As we're talking about that triangle, right? It starts in the up. It starts with him. What we do, our unity is because it starts with him. Our relationship to one another, our relationship to God starts, right, with him, with who he is and what he has done, how he has made us and called us to him. So it all starts with him, and he is the lead. He is the Alpha. He is the head, right? He is that Alpha, and he is also Almighty. Almighty. That should be a comfort to us. That he is the Almighty God. There is nothing that is too much for him, nothing out of his grasp, nothing beyond the reach of his hand, nothing that he doesn't have the strength, the power, the majesty, the glory for. He is Almighty. There is no giant that we can face that is too big for him. No obstacle that we have to overcome that is too challenging for him. He is the Almighty. And when you think about that in relation to us, first, that means, look, if he's the Alpha, the rest of us are followers of him. I know we all love, trust me, I'm one of those, you know, leadership nerd, and we love this idea of being a leader, but you've likely heard me say, and I'll say it again, the best leaders, to be a really good leader, you have to know how to be a good follower. If you want to be a really good leader, the best leaders know how to be a good follower. Followership is a skill, a mandate, even above and beyond leadership within our faith. Because Jesus didn't say, hey, come lead me. He said, come follow me. Jesus didn't say, hey, come lead these people. He said, hey, come follow me. And it's in that following of Jesus that some leadership plays out, because as we're following him, as we're pursuing him to be like him, to be near him, to do what he did, then now we are following the greatest follower of all time we see within Jesus, but also the greatest leader of all time. And so that leadership is going to flow, and that is going to help us to be leaders. But we have to first be a good follower. We have to follow him. And so him being the Alpha makes us followers, right? And sometimes we can get in competition with one another and trying to one up each other. And, you know, we're all pushing for that beta spot for that second in line. But honestly, we just all need to recognize, look, what we need to do is fix our eyes on following Jesus to the best of our ability. And part of that is following him together. He calls us to follow him together. And so, and if Jesus is calling our brother, our sister to him, right? And we're trying to follow him, and then we're getting in dispute with our brother or sister that Jesus is calling to him, then in order not to go against what the Alpha is trying to do, we should be encouraging one another and helping one another towards him. Right? We're not competing to get closer. We are trying to move closer together. And so we look at him as the Alpha. We are following in pursuit of him together and knowing that he is the Almighty. It doesn't stop with us. It's not a matter of our strength, our abilities, our weaknesses, our flaws, the obstacles, the environment, what we're facing. All of that is besides the point when it comes to his prayer for us and his desire for us to walk in unity. We can look and point at 1,000 different reasons why it can't work, why it shouldn't work, all the different obstacles and struggles and issues we have to face, but he is the Almighty One. And if he is calling us to that, he will help us with that. And so my encouragement to you, my unifiers out there, those who are saying, look, I am going to be a unifier, not someone who is dividing, not someone who's standing on the sideline, not someone who's just sitting in neutral, but I'm going to be intentional and passionate about being a unifier within the body of Christ, because that is what God has called us to. Well, then that means that we lean on his strength, and we don't let all of these obstacles, all of these deterrents, all of these challenges when it comes to unity to hold us down, stop us, dissuade us, to take away our passion and discourage us, because we know when we can look to the Almighty One who is far above and beyond all of these things to help us see his kingdom come and his will be done. He is the Alpha. He is the Almighty One. Let me look here. What's that next word? We're going to turn to Genesis 16:7. Genesis 16:7. And this one is going to be debatable for some of my friends. I know some people don't like this one, but this kind of just this gets into more wickets of theology, so to speak, why some people would not agree with this, but we're going to run with it because it's on this list here. And so we just want to mention this. And I'm going to talk in reference to this as those who would see this as one of his titles and why this would be important. So this is Genesis 16, verse 7. That's something that for some people, this is annoying, but I feel like it is also important as those who would like to be unifiers in the body of Christ, right? And not let so much come between and cause rifts, to be able to see different theological viewpoints and have an understanding of them and not hold to one side or the other so tightly that we can't, you know, we can't work with each other. And so something that you often see in conversation with me is that I am willing, I would say, I'm not going to say I'm the best at it, but I am willing and I try to make it a point to be able to debate something from either side, to know and kind of understand from either side and see the value of those things and almost to be able to not give you the impression that you know where I stand. Because sometimes it's just not, it's not even necessary. There are some things that it is necessary for you. You feel like you have to know. Let's talk about it. This one is Genesis 16, verse 7. And it says, "The angel of the Lord found her by a spring of water in the wilderness, the spring on the way to Shur." And then he starts talking to her, right? The angel of the Lord. Now, this phrase, angel of the Lord, is used multiple times within the Old Testament. You are going to see this time and time again. I believe the same phrase is used when wrestling with Jacob, right? And where he ends up being called Israel and his hip gets popped out of socket because they're wrestling. But there's multiple times where you're going to see this phrase, angel of the Lord. Some do not take that to mean the Son of God, to be Jesus. And some do. Some take that as these are instances of Jesus interacting with humanity in the Old Testament. And with that idea of this is Jesus interacting with man in the Old Testament is this idea that, look, Jesus has consistently been there as a messenger, as a word being proclaimed by God, representing him on earth and coming in such a way that, you know, he is an embodiment. He is, you know, he is an embodiment. He brings more of a physical aspect of God for us and comes before us and is often seen throughout scripture, walking with humanity, stepping into the quote unquote filth of humanity, into the atmosphere of sin, and often showing up in times where like there's this struggle with humanity. And so here, even in this instance, you can look at this chapter, verse 16, and you'll see like there's this struggle even within this household of faith, of things being right and wrong, and even heroes of faith doing things and acting in ways that we would say is wrong. But then in steps Jesus, or in steps the angel of the Lord, right? And brings a whole nother dynamic and brings some assurance, some guidance, some, maybe you could say, healing, reconciliation here, brings some favor in order to help things go the right way. It's like Jesus stepping into the situation, even though the people of God, aren't doing things right. We're making mistakes. We're causing divisions, hurt and harm, as we see within this passage. And Jesus steps in to bring peace. The angel of the Lord, right, steps in to bring peace, which the big thing there is that an angel is a messenger. It's a messenger from God, right? And so it's carrying the heart, the words, the representation of God. And what's so interesting about that is, look, if you look at Revelations, that chapter or the book that we just left a little while ago, in Revelations, there are letters being sent to seven churches. And in each one of those, it's addressed to the angel of that church. And now, sometimes we look at that and we see it as, oh, these are angels, heavenly beings that are, you know, watching over and guiding these churches. But again, that language, the word literally that's used there for angel is a messenger, and so often what we see throughout scripture, especially within the New Testament, but even in the old, is that we are called also to be messengers of God. And that use of the phrase angel of that church in the book of Revelations could very well be referring to the speaker, the one who is going to be giving, sharing this message, right? Or who usually does share the messages of that church, right? Or to that church. And so here, and for us, something that's really big here is that we see the angel of the Lord, the messenger of God here, the messenger of the Lord coming and bringing peace, and bringing things back together where there is division and strife, not because of, you know, some person who doesn't know God and their ways, but even people within the church, right? People who know God, people who are of the faith heritage, people who are heroes of the faith because of their mistakes, because of their wrong, and in steps this messenger. And look, when we see this, we have to recognize, one, that we are going to mess up, that people within the church are going to mess up, that people within the body of Christ are going to mess up. And that does not mean that you write them off, that, oh, they must be not really saved. They've gone astray. They've backslidden or whatever it may be. But we recognize, look, there is flaw, because there is humanity, because there is sin, but still God desires to step in and bring peace. God desires to step in and help to make things right. And he will send a messenger sometimes to do that. And now you and I, as representatives, right, of the kingdom, people who bear the image and the name of our God, who have been sent, commissioned, right, to be part of his ministry of reconciliation. Sometimes that means we need to be intentional about trying to bring peace where there is turmoil, and even because of turmoil, because of maybe something we did, something a brother or sister did, and we don't do that by coming in and picking sides, right? We come in and we try to display the heart of God there. We try to represent him well. We try to do as the angel of the Lord here did, right? And still show blessing and love and favor, right? And we try to bring that peace and that healing where we can. Sometimes we need to step in as messengers of God. Sometimes we need to step in as messengers of the Lord, where not just people who don't know God are messing up, but where people who do know God are causing issues and causing harm. Right. And we can step in and say and show that that is not the only representation. That is not the end all be all of what our God is like. And so help the world out, help your brothers and sisters out with that, because sometimes it is, I would say most of the time, almost all the time, the biggest deterrent to people knowing the goodness of our God, of knowing the greatness of our advocate, of the Almighty One, of the Alpha, right? And knowing these things, knowing him and all of his great ways is the misrepresentation of him by people who bear his name. So help to show that when sometimes we mess up and we make mistakes, that's not the end all be all and the most legitimate representation of who our God is. Sometimes we need to show a different representation. We need to step in and help bring that peace, that love, that support, that advocacy, however you may want to put that. We need to bring that back to the equation in the name of our Lord so that they see, you know, there's more to this. There's one that I skipped here. Did I skip it? Yep, I did skip it. And we're going to finish with it because, and it's a good one to finish with. This is Revelations chapter 3, 14. Revelations chapter 3, 14. This is going to be the last one that we're going to share today. Revelations chapter 3. Here we go. And this is a good one to finish with. Verse 14, it says, and to the angel, that's what I was just talking about. And to the angel of the church in Laodicea, write the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's creation. The words of the Amen. He is the Amen. Amen, you will often hear that as a close to prayer. And what that means is so be it. It's an affirmation. It's saying, you know, when we're praying blessing over this person in agreement, we're saying, so be it. So we're affirming. We want that to happen. We want that to be. And here we see that Jesus takes on that name of the Amen, the so be it. And that is so fitting for him as the Word of God, as the one who comes and affirms and fulfills so much of what's prophesied and talked about throughout the Old Testament. He's the one that brings it to be. He is the so be it. He says it, it's going to be done. God said it and he did it. He fulfilled it. And so he is the Amen. And that is, again, something that we can take as an encouragement that it's in his hands. He's the one that brings it to be. He's the one that fulfills it, right? And so we do our part. We lift up our hearts to him. We lift up our prayers to him, and we work with him. But be encouraged that he is the Amen. He is the one that brings it to pass. And again, as our advocate, often he is there in support for us saying, so be it, let it be, right? And so let that be an encouragement to you, especially for those things that maybe you are struggling to believe on in prayer, those things that maybe you're struggling to pray for, right? Look to the Amen. Look to your advocate. Look to the Almighty One, right? And in Jesus' name, Amen. Love you guys. Remember to like, share, subscribe. Please, again, share with me. Let me know your thoughts. Be part of this conversation. Join the conversation. And let us know some of your favorite names of God. We may be able to work our way through this whole list, but it's a long list, right? And so we may not touch on some of your favorites. So share with us some of your favorite names, titles, representations of God, and be part of this conversation with us. Hopefully we can get to some of those. We'll be checking out all those comments. Make sure that you subscribe, share, and we encourage you also to help be a unifier. Continue this podcast. You can jump on, follow our link. You can donate, to be part of making this continue, helping us to make these videos, these podcasts, continuing and spread these encouraging words to help strengthen unity in the body of Christ. Be a unifier with us and get out there and love somebody, y'all. Talk to you later. Thank you for joining us for the In Hope podcast. Hope you enjoyed today's conversation. Remember, we want you to be part of the conversation. So comment, like, share, and follow. Also, we want you to consider being a ministry partner with us. For as little as $2 a month, you can help continue this podcast and other ministries that teach about unity and invest in collaborative efforts. Connect with us via social media throughout the week, and we look forward to seeing you next week on Monday on the In Hope podcast.